Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Tuesday at 3 p.m., which means Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks here, straight from the NovaCare facility where the Eagles continue OTAs and you were allowed to watch practice again today.
What's up?
So, Elliot, what'd you see? Headlines.
Man, so much to talk about. I mean, the Vic Fangio presser, we could probably do the entire segment on that.
Yeah.
So there's that, then there's practice.
Practice first, and okay. Then we have some Vic Fangio cuts.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main takeaway from practice was how good Jalen looked. Jalen was 15 of 17. He had his best throw so far of the two practices I've seen. He hit Dallas Goedert down the left sideline. The coverage was really good. He just put it in a bucket over Goddard's shoulder. And I will say this, watching Jalen.
Was it a little underthrown? Or?
No, it was perfect. Okay. It was perfectly thrown, just like the dagger. Perfectly thrown.
Yeah. Yep.
Having watched all of Jalen's practices since he was drafted back in 2020, you can really see in practice the difference in him now as a quarterback versus obviously as a rookie. Like he just plays the position so much better even now than he did probably 2 years ago. 2 years ago in practice, I remember talking on air with you guys about it. Like he would hold onto the ball so much. There would be so many 7-on-7 reps where he would hold onto the ball. And in 7-on-7, the ball should never be held. Like that. And it was happening 4 or 5 times a practice. Now, he barely ever holds the ball. And you can just see, like, I mean, I have him down as, I think, 35 of 38 in these two practices. If there's nothing there, he is dumping the ball down, getting rid of it. And that just wasn't happening. I remember as a rookie, like, players laughing at him during the drill, being like, throw the ball. And obviously, that's a rookie. He's a far way away from that now. But you can just see how much better he is at playing the position of quarterback now than he was again, like 2 years ago, even.
So I don't want to turn this into a Jalen argument yet. The question I would have is, last year, the holding onto the ball thing still happened, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, which is why he got sacked so much, which is why against the blitz, he wasn't turning the ball over, but he's also getting sacked a lot. He wasn't. So I guess the question is, I don't know if any of us can have this, how does he take that evolution in practice to the games, right? Like, how does he get, and he's, clearly, I would hope he'd be a better quarterback today than he would when he was a rookie. But that part of it, I don't think that has necessarily gone from practice to the game.
I think part of the reason it's different in practice versus a game is in a practice, he can't really run. Like in a game, you can run. You know, like when you're doing 7-on-7, you're holding onto the ball to the last possible second, then you're running. And you're not even really running. The play's basically dead. I think in a game, Jalen prefers to run instead of dump it down to a check down. He's never really been a check down quarterback in the NFL. And I think that's because he knows he can run with the ball. So I think that's the difference between practice and a game. Now, in a game, I agree he needs to do a better job. He can get a bit trigger shy, in my opinion. Like, I think that's the issue with the passing game. I don't think the issue with the passing game is his accuracy, like any of that. I think he just gets trigger shy sometimes, and that's where he holds onto the ball.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah, and it's every situation has its own sort of identity. What I mean by that is sometimes he could take a sack, and I would prefer he take a sack than force the ball somewhere where it shouldn't go, and it leads to a turnover.
Yeah,
right. You take a sack, then you got to punt the ball. You don't flip the field position from the standpoint of giving them the ball on your side of the 50 mm-hmm. with a chance to score. You live to fight another day, for lack of a better way of trying to explain it. And then there are some times where you can't take a sack. You got to get rid of the doggone ball. You got to throw it away, right? Because you may take yourself out of field goal range, right, by holding onto mm-hmm. the ball and taking a sack, and now you got to punt it. So each situation is different, but I like the fact that he is seemingly getting better with it. And, I mean, you know this, or you would know better than us because you're out there watching. I'm wondering how comfortable he looks back there from your description of him being out there. He seems to be comfortable.
I think he looks really comfortable.
In the offense.
Yeah.
So I like that. Whatever they're doing, they're giving him some things that he's comfortable with. Maybe he has input on the stuff that's going in mm-hmm. in the passing game. Does it seem like he and Kevin Petrullo's little working relationship looks good?
Last year at OTAs, he did not have a good couple days of practice.
Okay.
He had interceptions, and that was when they were installing the Kellen Moore part of the offense.
So yeah.
He definitely looks – I could look it up, his numbers from last OTAs. But, like, he definitely looks way more comfortable, in my opinion.
Okay.
I mean, he really just sits back there and just, like, picks him apart. And mm-hmm. it's not 15-yard throws, 20-yard throws. The one to Goddard was probably 30-plus yards. A lot of them – he took a little more chances today, I would say. It wasn't just all checkdowns. But when he's – the last 2 days of practice, or the 2 days I've gotten to watch, he really does just sit back there and just, like, you know, dumps
he's
it off.
He's just distributing the ball. Yeah.
So I guess my question also would be, there was a big conversation during OTAs last year about how much of the offense was new in relation mm-hmm. to some of his struggles, and from 75% to, you know,
what did he 15. Say? Did he say 99?
He said a high number,
yeah.
And then my dad was like, no, it's actually 5%.
Right.
Whatever it is. I wonder how much they're actually doing new mm-hmm. last year, this year, and how much they're working on installing that now, or maybe they're doing like a slow version of that. My question would be, how much new are they actually doing?
So it's hard to tell, I'll say, in the two practices I've seen, because A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are not practicing. A.J. was there
so
today,
just there to
but he didn't
practice.
Do a team. Devontae, I don't believe, was there, and he wasn't there the last time we were there either. So he's been playing with all backup receivers. He has Dallas Goedert out there, and Saquon does a few teams, but he's mostly playing with backups. So to my eye of watching it, it looks like it did last year, like short throws, you know, like high percentage throws. But it's only 2 days, and it's also tough to tell how much they're going to install when you have, like, Anaya Smith, Terrace Marshall Jr., like, when those are your receivers, I don't know how much of the new stuff you could do, but I guess it's all new to them. So
we'll get to your next observation, but I want to sort of sprinkle in some of this Fangio stuff, because he said a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
We were talking to Jeremiah Trotter yesterday about Jalen Carter, and one of the things that Trotter said was that the amazing thing about Jalen Carter is he doesn't even know how to play the position yet, mm-hmm. and he's this good. He was asked, did you ask him about this?
Or? David Urim.
There he is.
Urim crushed it, yeah.
Going for Insider of the Year. David Urim asked him about that comment. Here's what Vic Fangio had to say.
Jeremiah Trotter Sr. said on WIP yesterday that he's been hearing from some folks that Jalen doesn't even know how to play the position yet. It was in a complimentary fashion, in a sense to say that he doesn't even know how to play the position yet. Sky's the limit. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree with the point he's trying to make. I do think Jalen... The good news about Jalen is twofold. One, he played very well for us last year. And two, he can still improve a lot.
I mean, it is. And we also asked, we were talking to Javon Kearse about the mm-hmm. Eagles. And we asked him, what is the thing that you notice watching him? And he's like, I wish I could play on that defense with Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
He said, I would get so many sacks if I was playing next to Jalen Carter. And it means a lot to hear a guy like Javon Kearse, who would be playing on defensive mm-hmm. line, notice that is such a key to the edge success.
Well, you know? I also thought it was very noteworthy. Jeremiah Trotter said this, you know, and he said
yes.
People in the building, you know, I'm not, like, obviously he has a connection to the building in a lot of ways, right? So
right.
I believe him when people in the building are saying that. And yeah, I mean, if they think Jalen Carter, I think it's natural when you're only 2 years in the league, you're not going to be doing, like, little veteran things, you know, to be better.
Sure.
Like, right now he's winning with his athleticism. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, if he once he starts to play more and, you know, get used to how teams are playing him and learns little veteran things, he'll definitely be.
It reminded me of Mahomes when Andy said that he doesn't even know the off or how to read defenses yet.
Yeah,
that was after his
second year. Yeah, it was after his second year. Yeah, even Mahomes, I think, said after his second or third year. He was like, yeah, I'm just really learning how to pick up blitzes and things of that nature. So, yeah, no, this is one of those situations where, you know, Jeremiah Trotter watches a lot of football with his son. And when you're a linebacker and you're watching linebacker play, you start with the box.
Yeah.
So you're watching everything in front of you. You're watching offensive line block schemes. You're watching how your defensive line is playing those blocks. And you can't help but see 98 in the middle of his defense and watching what he's doing. So you watch this kid and you realize a lot of it is just raw ability.
And if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Because to your point, when Trotter's watching, like he's reacting to a certain degree off of Jalen Carter. So when they watch and he's expecting one thing and Jalen does another, that's probably where this comes from, that he doesn't fully know what he's doing.
Right.
Yet.
He's probably looking at it and he's saying, oh, that's it. That's instinctual. When he gets – now, there are some plays that – because I think back to the game against Washington when Jalen was on the line of scrimmage and he was – it was on mic'd up, I believe. He pointed out that the guard was sitting light in his stance and so he was getting ready to pull. And he caused a fumble in the backfield off of that play.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So some of the things he does see, and he just have he has good football instincts and intellect there, but no young player, or it's rare young players, fully grasp the technical side of playing positions. We all come in, and it's all of our athleticism. It's when you learn how to defeat blocks. It's when you learn how to have a counter move to a block, when they're going to run a passing play, and how they're trying to set you up for a double team. These are all the things that Jalen Carter, the more he plays, he's just going to become that. It's going to become more difficult to defend.
Well, especially because, like, let's take N'Kobe, right? Both went to Georgia. N'Kobe didn't get drafted because of his athleticism. N'Kobe got drafted because he, in college, had to be the smartest player.
Yep.
Jalen Carter has never had to be the smartest player on the defense.
Yeah.
Because even in high school and then obviously at Georgia, he could just push guys over. Like, he was so much better than him. And even at Georgia, there was reports about him not being a good practice player.
Sure.
So I think, you know, take this a step further, like, to back to Vic Fangio. I think another benefit of having Vic is just having someone coach these young players. Like, obviously schematically, like today, Vic said he's been working with Jahad Campbell one-on-one. And then at practice, you could see it. Like, he's working with Jahad Campbell one-on-one. And that alone is worth the money the Eagles are paying Vic Fangio. Like, to have Vic coach up Jahad Campbell one-on-one, there's not many coordinators in the league that are have done this longer than Vic, that coach linebackers the way he does. So to have...
Puts a premium on it.
Right. So to have Fangio be here and to help develop Jalen Carter is a massive deal outside of just the scheme part. It's worth the money for the Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, that's how great.
And he emphasizes practice.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, he will not
that's
let.
That's what I love. Yes.
Well, he
yes.
said today, he was like, for those that say practice doesn't matter. I was like, well, you know.
Did he look at you when he said that?
I was like, I am the one that keeps practice stats, to be fair.
That's how great it was having Jim Johnson as a coach. And we talked about Vic Fangio leaving Miami and coming here. Well, Miami, he's dealing with a bunch of overpaid guys that are stars in the league already. A lot of them came there as mercenaries and got paid.
Jalen Ramsey.
And they didn't want to listen to the old guy who was coming in on 1 year deal and changing up everything. You get a young group that doesn't have any type of entitlement to them.
Or a big contract.
Big contracts. And they want the big contracts.
Yep.
They want the big. And you see what he did last year? Well, I guarantee they hang on to every word Vic Fangio says right now.
100%.
Because the proof is there. He just got Milton Williams paid. He got Zach Bond paid.
Josh Sweat.
Like Josh Sweat.
Isaiah Rogers.
He came in here in 1 year and did that.
Yeah.
Well, the question about Jalen Carter and whether he reaches the ceiling that we know that he has is he committed to learning those things, not just now after winning a Super Bowl and having success and being talked about as the best in the league. You know, it's hard to hear that all day long and say to yourself, I still have work to do. Not only that, but then after he gets paid. Like after you get paid. And I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying that
many of them do, though.
Right.
They don't work as hard. And so many of them do.
If you're Jalen Carter, you're going into this year knowing if you have a Pro Bowl year, you could legitimately get $150 million.
Oh, he sets the market next
year. Guaranteed next year. So now after that, that's a different discussion. Once you get paid.
Oh, somebody else will pass it because the Eagles aren't going to win.
Well, I just mean in a motivational standpoint. Oh, right. I can't imagine getting $150 million guaranteed and feeling the same way when I go to work. But like now, like there will never be a more important year of Jalen Carter's career than this one in terms of the output. Because if he has the year he's supposed to, he will get life-changing money 10 times over.
And second biggest thing you saw today, anything notable in terms of starters at different positions that we talked about last week?
Reed Blankenship was here today, which gave us a chance to look at what they're thinking at safety. So it was Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown was the other safety for pretty much all the first team reps, from what I remember. So it seems like Sidney is the guy right there. Makuba was next up with the second team. Vic Fangio said a few times they're not going to make a decision on that until training camp's over and he gets all the preseason games. The other thing I would note, though, Tristan McCollum is a name people like. We need to talk about more. Like, Vic Fangio brought this dude up twice unprompted today. He played him last year when Chauncey went down. Like, we can like all the other guys, but Vic clearly has guys he likes, and Tristan McCollum is definitely one of them.
I hope he can play.
Vic
you
seems
can't
to
tell
think
me
he
one
can.
Good play Tristan McCollum made last year. All we can say is Vic Fangio likes him.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying.
Can I say sometimes
I hope he makes plays?
He brought him up unprompted in the presser. Yeah.
Not that this isn't important to a team, but I think sometimes I'm not saying that Vic Fangio is making a mistake with this. It's not what I'm saying. But I do think sometimes coaches like guys that do what they ask.
Yep.
And sometimes they will err to the side of somebody that does what they ask.
It's coachable.
Right.
Yeah.
Over somebody that might be more talented or so on and so forth. And look,
ask Bryce Huff.
Well, yes, for sure. Yeah.
Bryce is gone because of that.
Yeah. He did actually. He was asked about Cooper DeJean. Jack, do we have that? Speaking of safety.
What are you looking to find out about Cooper as you're trying him out at base, that corner in that plan right now?
With Cooper DeJean? I would like to keep him at nickel. And then in our base package, we'll find a spot for him, either at corner or safety.
What do you like about the idea of Cooper at safety and what will go into determining whether he plays at safety or the outside?
Well, I think he would play very well at safety. I think it suits his skill set, things that he does well. I just think he would do very well in there.
All right. So he's basically saying in base he's going to play safety.
Yeah, or at least that's where he thinks he will play.
Yeah.
And it'll be easier to take that guy off the field than I think it is Keeley or Adoree Jackson. Like Sidney Brown and Tristan McCollum, in my opinion, don't hold the same weight that Adoree Jackson and Keeley do. Keeley's been here for a few years. Adoree just got signed.
What is it about Kelee Ringo? I'm not just saying it's you.
Mm-hmm.
All the other writers love Kelee Ringo, too. So, like, what is it about Kelee Ringo who, by the way, when Darius Slay would go off the field last year, it wasn't Kelee Ringo. Yeah. It was Isaiah Rogers. So, like, why is Kelee Ringo more cemented, do you think, than anybody at safety is?
Well, I think Sidney Brown's barely played. He's been hurt, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Kelee doesn't play safety.
No, I'm saying I think Kelee and Adoree Jackson are harder to take off the field than Sidney Brown and Tristan McCollum.
Oh.
Because Sidney's barely played. Tristan McCollum, obviously Vic likes him, so there's that. But Adoree just signed here. Adoree has experience. I just think it's easier to take those guys off the field. Now, in terms of Kelee, I think the reason a lot of writers like him is because when you see him in person, he is very physically imposing. Like out on the practice field,
he's a big corner.
He looks like a linebacker out there playing corner. Now, you're right. Whenever they took off Slay last year, or Slay came off for injury, it was not Keeley that went out there. So we talk about how much Vic likes Tristan. The vibe I get is it's the opposite way with Keeley. Now, he was out there with the starters today in 11-on-11. He was out there in base, in nickel on the outside. But I don't think he has a firm grasp on that job.
So also speaking of safety, Vic was asked about the safety that isn't here anymore. He was asked about the safety.
Wow, look at this.
Oh, you know, that was a salary cap type thing. And
is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
There's more. Is there? Well, he said it's a salary cap thing and I was fine with it. Did we miss that part?
Oh, okay. That's all I said.
Okay. About CJ.
Oh, I didn't hear the last part.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
I think Chauncey was viewed way higher outside the building than he was in. I mean, they've moved on from him twice. They traded him, obviously, coming off winning the Super Bowl. I know fans were really upset when Chauncey got traded, but I just don't think they think Chauncey's as good of a player as everyone else does.
It's interesting. A lot of it's interesting. He made my gut tells me that a lot of the big plays he made were him freestyling, and Vic doesn't like freestyling. That's what my gut tells me.
A lot of teams have moved on from Chauncey, for what it's worth.
Yeah, of
course. You know, the Saints did, the Eagles did, then the Lions did, then the Eagles did again. So
there's a lot to handle.
Yes.
But I agree with that, but I do think on the field, they just don't think he's as good as the outside does. Like, people view him as a great safety. I don't think the Eagles thought he was a great safety. Otherwise, he'd be here.
The great part of it.
Good.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is a damn good safety. You know that. I know it. Listen, we had Malcolm Jenkins here. Before we had Malcolm Jenkins, we had Brian Dawkins. Chauncey Gardner won a championship here and was a big part of it. He went to two Super Bowls.
He
was a big part of it. Hold on real quick. He had 6 interceptions in 2022.
Yeah.
In about 10 games, he had 6 interceptions. How many do you have this year?
I think 5 or 6.
5 or 6 this year. Who the hell else is taking the ball away? I mean, I like Reed, too.
Right.
But Reed catches more interceptions on overthrows.
Or underthrows, diving for him. Yeah.
He's not really making plays out there. Like, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has been one of our best secondary defenders here over the last 3 or 4 years.
So, I agree with you on that.
They better be right when they're moving on.
And he's an impactful player. I'll say that. I just think Fangio seems to like guys that'll just do on the field what he says.
That's why I said he's a lot to handle.
And the tackling is not great from him. So
that's for sure,
end of the line, or like a last line of defense. He's not the best safety to have there.
All right, coming up next, we will get Elliot's opinion on our topic for today about Saquon playing him
Where did CJ go?
Houston.
Oh, he went to Houston. Yeah.
We'll talk about the Saquon thing. And also, I have a bigger picture Eagles question that has been eating at me, and I read some more stuff that makes me eat at it even more, and then the Bryce Huff thing made me think about it even more.
I know exactly where you're going with this, and I disagree with you on it.
I actually don't think you know where I'm going.
I think I do.
Can we get there?
Yeah, why don't you relax in there?
Well, yeah, look at him ready to fight for Howie.
The worm texted me, ready to go.
Who texted you?
I said the worm is a joke. Yeah.
All right. That is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.